Today's daf in the Gemara in Shabbos is daf Chof Ches. We'll see how far we get. We're definitely going to do Mirtz Hashem daf Chof Ches. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, David Fran's father, Moshe ben Yehuda Yitzchak, whose yard site is on Hay Nisan. All the Neshamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin on daf Chof Zayin Omid Beis, towards the bottom at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, this again, we're continuing the B'mem Adlikin, it's a very, very, very famous Mishnah Yisus because we say them every Friday night, hopefully Mirtz Hashem, when we say them this coming Friday night, they'll have more meaning to us as well. Kol ha-yotzei mino eitz, eim adlikin bo ela pishtan. So anything that comes from a tree, what does it mean, anything that comes from a tree? We're talking about the wicks. You can take various parts of the tree and make them into wicks. So Rashi says, you're not allowed to use these types of wicks. What are they? So Rashi says, to make a wick, you're not allowed to make them from cotton, mikanvus, ubegit kanvus, and semer geffen, from any type of cotton derivative, or from hemp. The one exception to this rule, the Mishnah tells us, is ela pishtun. You're allowed to use flax over here. That is allowed to be used as a wick. Tosos doesn't like this pshat at all. If you look in the Tosos, the Ramasko, towards the bottom, kol yotzim and eitz ein madlikin. So he says, Rashi says, pishul kundris, leel kagon bekanvus, cotton, and semer geffen, this hemp. They ain't near Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that's not correct. He says, the imkain, he also lahadlik bo, you wouldn't be allowed to use this for wicks. Umasim b'choyom, shmadlikin b'tzemer geffen. He says, this hemp was a very, very common wick that they used to use. Began tov ma'od l'psila. The whole problem with saying is that it doesn't draw up the oil well, so that's just not true. So Tosfos is puzzled by Rashi's explanation, and therefore he brings down the name of the Ri, Vade mutal hadlik b'kanbus b'tzemer geffen. You definitely can use wicks that are made out of cotton or made out of hemp. The Einam Yotzi Minu Eitz, Elo Zerahu. Why are they allowed? If the Mishnah tells us things that are Yotzi Minu Eitz, you're not allowed to use, it's because it says these don't really come from the tree themselves, they come from the seeds. And he says, Kedaminim b'menochos, kanbus v'luf, osra Torah, shar zeroyim v'chule. So there they're referred to as zeroyim. Upishtan nami min zera. And he says that's why it says over here, pishtan also is good, because it's a zera, kimo kanbus. So why then does the Mishnah have to specifically state it? If it's zera, then it should be good. Why does the Mishnah tell us? Yeah, you can use pishtan. El de itzrich masdis la mishnah pishtan. The Mishnah has to say that pishtan is good. Bishum de ikre eitz, because as we'll proceed down, pishtan is referred to as an eitz. So one might have thought that this is different. Kidichsev, as we'll see the psukim in the Gemara in a moment. So as it says, vatidinim be pishtay or eitz. We'll see what this is talking about, the meraglim with roch vahazona. In any event, there's also ukemo eitz hadas. We see that sometimes it can be called a tree, even though it's really a plant. Like it says by the Eitz Hadas, there are four shitos as to what the Eitz Hadas was, and this goes, Laman Dama Chito, I saw that it was a wheat tree. Now, wheat doesn't really grow on a tree, although there's a fantastic Magoli Siyam that says, yes, the bread actually grew on a tree. You didn't have to go and do anything to it. You went to a pumpernickel tree and you took off a pumpernickel. You went to a rye bread tree and you took off a rye bread. So that's what it means, according to that pshat, that there was a wheat tree. And that's what Adam and Chava ate from. But the simple understanding is that wheat is not a tree. So therefore, even though wheat is referred to over here as a tree in the Eitz Hadas, that's why you have to tell me that pishtan isn't going to be considered a tree. Even though the pishtan is not really a tree, but since it's referred to as a tree, so therefore it had to be excluded specifically from being a problem, it's not considered a yosim eitz, it's good. Furthermore, Tosu says, the definition of a tree in Gemara and Brachos, we said, for example, a banana, the banana looks like a tree, but since the tree doesn't grow each year and produce fruit, so therefore it's not considered a tree. And therefore, pishtan the kanbus for tzemer geffen, all of these types of things, linen, the flax, and the cotton, and the hemp, is shaklus lepeira. If you take away the thing that you want, the peira, hainu azera, which is the seed, lo hadur ilon umefik, the tree will not regrow more cotton next year, more hemp, etc. Hilchach, lav, yotzei min eitz, ninhu. Therefore, they're not considered yotzei min eitz. So Tosus' pshat is somewhat different than Rashi's pshat, to say the least. Okay, the Mishnah continues and says, v'chol ha-yotzei min eitz, enu matami tumas oholim, ela pishtan. Now it tells us a separate din, that there is a din of tumas ohel. We've talked about that already in the past. We remind ourselves that something inside an ohel, Rechmon and Slant, there's a mason there, everything inside that, underneath that roof, will become tamei tumas mace. Now, what about the roof itself? So normally, if the roof is attached to the ground, so anything attached to the ground is not considered capable of being kabel tumah. But there's a special din over here for things that are attached to the ground. It's portable and it has a roof. So it tells us, something that is from wood, something that comes from a tree, is not mitami tumas oholim. It doesn't get itself over here capable of becoming tame, even if it's not attached to the ground. And this, the exception to this also is pishtan. If it's made out of pishtan, so then it is mekabel tuma when it is acting as a roof. Not only are the things underneath it tame, but it itself is matame as the roof. And we'll see this in the Gemara more. Gemara starts off and says, Minolun de pishtan he creates. As I mentioned already from Tosos, we're going to bring down a pasuk to show that you might have thought that pishtan is considered eitz, and therefore it had to be specifically excluded from the prohibition of using wicks that come from eitz. And you are in fact allowed to use a wick made of pishtan. So what is this pasuk? Minolun. So Gemara says, Amar Marzutra, Marzutra brings down the Amar Kor, the pasuk tells us, V'hi ha'losam ha'gaga, v'atit minem b'pishtei ha'etz. She brought them up, this is Rochav Hazona, who ultimately became Yoshua's wife, she was a great tzaddikess, and she brought up Pinchos and Kolev, the two meraglim that Yoshua had sent in to spy out Yericho, v'atit minem, and she hid him. So it really should be Vatit Minam. She hit them both. So the Mepharshim bring down that she only had to hide Kolev because Pinchas was like a malach, and Pinchas was able to hide himself. He disappeared himself. So she really only had to hide Kolev. In any event, she hid them where? The Pishtei Eitz. She hid them in the tree of flax. So therefore, we see that the Nach calls Pishtan a tree. So therefore, one might have thought that Pishtan isn't good because Yotzim and Eitz is no good. Therefore, we need specifically the Mishnah to tell us that Yotzim and Eitz is good. The Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah, Vayotzim and Eitz mitamei tumas oholim, something that is from wood, comes from a tree, is not able itself to become tamei with tumas ohel, even though everything underneath it becomes tamei with tumas ohel. The one exception to that is the pishtan. That will become tamei tumas meis itself. Minolon, how do we know that as well? So I'm a Rabbi Elazar, Gomar, Ohel, Ohel. We have a Xerah Shav over here. It says Ohel in one place, it says Ohel in another place. We turn to the Omud Aleph. We'll see that it says Ohel in regards to the Mishkan, and it also says Ohel in regards to Tumas Adam in an Ohel. So we'll have a Xerah Shav between these two psukim. So again, Ksiv Hocha, it says in regards to Tumas Meis, Zos HaTorah, Adam ki yomos bi ohel. It tells us that these are the halachos of a person who dies rachmona litzlan underneath an ohel, and it's mitame everything else underneath that ohel. Uksiv hasim, and it says in regards to the mishkan, vayifroses a ohel ala mishkan, and it says in regard to the three layers of coverings on top of the krushim that made up the mishkan. We'll see there what these three layers are in a moment. And it says that he spread out, Moshe Rabbeinu spread out the ohel on top of the mishkan. Now it uses the term ohel by Adam ki yomos be ohel, and it uses the term by Frosis ohel in regards to the mishkan. So ma lahalon sho pishtun kori ohel, just like one of the layers of the mishkan was ohel, and it's called pishtan. It was made of pishtan, and it's called ohel. So therefore, afkan shel pishtan kori ohel. So too, in regards to tumas meis, that we see that the pishtan itself can be called an ohel, and it can become tamei itself, as opposed to other things that are yotzim and eitz that can't become tamei as the roof themselves. They could be metami everything underneath them, but they themselves don't become tamei because they're not referred to as ohel. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, if you want to make this Gzei Rishava over here between Ohel of Pishtan in the Mishkan and the Ohel of Tumas Adam, so then you have to make the analogy all the way through. Ima Lahalon, in regards to the Mishkan, so what were the rules of this Pishtan? It had to be Shizurin. It was made out of very specially twisted types of threads. And the Chutan Kofu Shisha. And each of the threads, there were four different threads that were Shizurin together, they each were made up of six individual threads, and they were twisted together, and then those six were twisted together, so you have 24. So if that's the rule by the Mishkan, so maybe only this type of a Shizurin type of linen, of flax over here, would be required to could accept Tumah in regards to Tumah Soel. If you're making the analogy over here, so then it has to be Shizurin v'chutan kaful shisha. So too, Avkan, Shizurin v'chutan kaful shisha in regards to Tumah Soel. So that's not the case. Talmud Lomar, that's why we need the Gzei Rishav over here. Ohel, Ohel, Reba. The fact that it uses the Gzei Rishav here tells us that it's not only exactly the same, even if it's not Shizurin, and it's not Koful Shisha it still can be metame as linen tumas ohel by tumas adam. Gemara says, wait a second, e ohel ohel riba. If you're telling me over here ohel ohel is riba, so then everything. If you're telling me it's riba everything, so then it should be riba even things that aren't pishdan. Afilu kol milei nami. It should also be including in this din that the roof can be makabel tumim. If it's not kavu in the ground, it should also be marba things that are other than linen. It should be also marba wood or things like that. Someone says, no, im kain, gzeir shavu, my highly. So then what would be the person gzeir shavu? Gzeir shavu is comparing the ohel of the Mishkan to the ohel of Tumas Adam. So it has to be comparable somewhat, but not 100% comparable. That's what the Gemara says. So Gemara says, the Eimah, if you're going and comparing them, so then now we should compare anything that the Mishkan is an ohel to Tumas Adam, and therefore the krushim, the boards that were the wall of the Mishkan, but they're also called Mishkan, so they also wood, like the Krashim, should also be Makabel Tuma, if it's Ohel, and not Kavua in the ground. They Mamalahal and Krashim, Afkan Krashim, just like the Krashim are referred to as Ohel, we'll see in a moment where, so too, Afkan Krashim, we should have, if you have boards as a ceiling, so then they should also be Makabel Tuma in the case of Tumas Adam, but they're not. That's where it says, where do we find that the krushim are called Mishkan? Amakra, Biosi says that krushim la Mishkan. You'll make the krushim, these big boards over here, the poles, basically, the beams that the Mishkan was, the walls of the Mishkan, for the Mishkan. So that's where we see that it's called Mishkan. But look at the words carefully, the Gemara says, Mishkan kari Mishkan. The Mishkan itself, the ceiling is called Mishkan. They ain't krushim kruyin Mishkan. The krushim aren't referred to themselves as Mishkan. It says la Mishkan, for the Mishkan, and therefore krushim aren't considered Mishkan. Okay, Gemara says, if you want to do that, so then elamayata, then carry it through. It says v'yosisa michse la ohel. It says you'll make over here a michse for the ohel. Now, what does that mean? It's the michse is the layer over here of the hides of the various animals and the linen, so they should be for the Mishkan, la ohel. The ohel is the Mishkan. So hachanami, michse lo ikriyo, the michse itself, these either the various animals' hides over here that are the three layers of participating in the three layers of the roof of the Mishkan, or the linen over here, the pishdan. So therefore, hachanami, michse lo ikriyo, it's not called ohel itself, it's le ohel. So therefore, that shouldn't be. Then our whole raya that the Mishkan over here, the Pishtan, is compared to Ohel, so then that shouldn't apply as well, because it's not really Ohel, it's La Ohel, for the Ohel, for the Mishkan. Elugmar says, Hodaboy Rabbi Elazar, if this were true, or maybe this is true, so then why do Rabbi Elazar ask? We'll go back to this later on in the Gemara, we're going to come back to this, but right now we just say, Rabbi Elazar asks, Or Behema Tzmeya, Ma'ushi Tami Ba'olameis, can a animal that has a hide from a non-kosher animal, the hide of a non-kosher animal, is that metame ba'olameis? Would that be able to accept tumah as if it's a roof? If you're using the hide over there as the roof, so obviously everything underneath it is makabel tumah, but does the roof itself, the non-kosher animal's hide, is that makabel tumah? He asked that question. Now, hashta, why would he ask that question? If you're telling me over here that the michse, which is the hides of the kosher animals that was the roof of the ohel, of the Mishkan, hashta or behema torah lo metame. If this drush is correct, you say michse lo ohel means that it's not considered ohel, it's for the ohel, like the krushim before the ohel, and it's not makabel tumah. So then, if you're telling me over here, hashta or behema torah lo metame, or behema tmeh miboy, would you have a question? If a kosher animal's hide isn't metame, so who would have a havamina that the non-kosher animal's hide is metame? And yet he asks that question, so obviously this drush is wrong, and you can't say michse lo ohel means it's not ohel, so the michse is called ohel, even though it says lohel. So too the krushim, even though it says lumishkan, the krushim should also be called mishkan. That's our question. Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the two of them. Shiny hosom, it's different. Why? The hodor, in regard to the Mishkan, the covers of the Mishkan, hodor ahadre kra, the pasuk repeats itself again, d'chsev, v'nosu es yirios ha-mishkan, v'es olmoed, mirseyu, it repeats itself and says that this is the mirsei over here, is the covering for the olmoed. So therefore, we see over here that you have the different layers. As I mentioned, there are three layers over here. You have the bottom one, Rashi tells us. You look in the Rashi, Dibur Amas Ma Tachton, and he says, the bottom layer was, Ashtei Esrei Yirios, Izim L'Ohel, al hamishkan. So you have over here made up of 11 pieces of hides of Ezim, of goat hide, that was on top of the Mishkan. The Mishkan, hainu esirios, the bottom layer was 10 yirios, 10 of these panels that were hooked together with various types of silver hooks, and that was the ohel, yirios Ezim, and ulamalamihen, mirseya oros. So again, just to understand this, on the lower level, underneath the bottom one, that was these esirios, which was made of the flax and also of wool. They were sewn together. And then above that, you had over here the 11 panels, which was made out of the goats. And then above that, you had the animal hide, or the mirseh, which we'll see was made out of the tachash. So these are the three layers. So it repeats itself, and therefore, mekish ol yon letachton. So we can compare the top one to the bottom one, or the middle one, actually. So therefore, ma tachton kori ohel, the middle one is definitely called ohel, so af elyon kori ohel, so therefore they're called ohel. So over here you have a special dispensation, if you wish, a special pasuk that says that this mirseh is called ohel, as opposed to the krashim, which it just says la mishkan, isn't included in this din. Now, let's go back. I said we get to this again, gufa, the question that Rabbi Elazar asked. Gufa, boy, Rabbi Elazar asked over here, or behema tmeya, ma'u shiitami tumas oholin. What about a behema tmeya? The hide of a behema tmeya. Let's say you have a pigskin. So you have a roof over here, a tent of pigskin, nebuch, there's a mace underneath it. So does the pigskin itself become tamei tumas mace? So where it says, Michael Bailey, what is he asking over here? Amar Rabbi Barada, tachash, oh, you'll be me Moshe, come a boiler. He was really asking over here, what about the tachash? We know that this top layer over here was made up of a unique animal called the tachash. So what he really was asking is this tachash, is that a kosher animal? Or is the tachash a treifa animal, a non-kosher animal, a tmeya, as we call it? Treifa really is the wrong terminology. Treifa means a specific a problem with lungs or something like that. So we actually call a non-kosher animal a tmeya, but in the vernacular, we always say a trefa. So he was asking, is the tachash over here, which was a unique animal, as we'll see, that existed really only during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, was it tamehaya or tarhaya? Is it kosher or non-kosher animal? If it was a kosher animal, so then there's no problem over here, why it accept tumah? If it's a non-kosher animal, can it accept tumah? That was his question. So Gemara answers, Amar Yosef, Mighty Baile, what's your question? Tanina, we have a brisa that states specifically, Lo hukshu l'mlecha shemayim el or behema Torah bilvat. The only thing you're allowed to use over here in the Mishkan, at least that's what it sounds like it's telling us over here, is a kosher animal. So obviously the tachash was a kosher animal. So therefore, you can't bring me any raya over here to whether the non-kosher animal accepts tumanat from the tachash, because the tachash is a kosher animal. So Rav Yosef says that we have a beferish brisa. But the Gemara is not so sure about that. Most of Rabbi Abba asks on that understanding of Yosef from the following brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Mirsos Hayu. There were two coverings over here that used various animal hides in the Mishkan. Echad Shel Oros Elim Udam. And one was the ram hides, the red rammed hides. The Echad Shel Oros Tachashim. And above that was the hides of the Tachash. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. No, it wasn't two layers. It was one layer. And some of it was the red hides from the ram, and some of it was the hides of the tachash. And it looked like an animal called the Telah Ilan. Rashi explains over here, the Telah Ilan was a chaya tumeyahi. It was a non-kosher wild animal. And it was spotted. It had spots like a leopard, so to say. And therefore, that's what this, according to Rabbi Nechemia, this combination of the red hides and the tachash hides, it looked like this Tlei Ilan. Now, Vaha Tlei Ilan, Tamayu, so how can you, Rav Yosef, say that it definitely was kosher animals, only that we used in the hides of the Mishkan? It seems to say over here that, according to Rav Nechemia, the combination of the hides over here was like the Tlei Ilan, and the Tlei Ilan is a non-kosher animal. Shmuel says, no, that's not what Rabbi Nechemia said. Hochi kamar. Kimin tle ilanu, sheesh bo givonim harbe. Yeah, it looks like a spotted leopard, so to say. It looks like over here a hide of the tle ilan. But it's not the tle ilan, below tle ilan. It wasn't really the tle ilan, because ilo asim tame v'ochatar, because the tle ilan is non-kosher. But here it had to be a kosher animal, v'ochatar. It had to be an animal that was kosher. So it was something that looked like the tle ilan, according to Rabbi Nechemia, but wasn't actually the tle ilan itself. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Ihochi. Now, normally Ihochi is used. If that's true, then we have a question. But here, Rashi explains that Ihochi is siyatahi. This is a proof. And I'll show you that this is right. Because, hainu dimetagaminon sasgona. That's why in the Targum, when it uses the term to explain tlei ilon, it uses the term sasgona, which means shesos bigavonim harbe. It's, so to say, really happy. It is singing, so to say, praises about itself because it has these beautiful colors. It's sos bigavonim harbe. And that's why this animal that was the tachash has a multicolored hide over here, and it's very proud of it. That's why it's called sasgona in Targum. The Gideon Ashas points out that elsewhere, we bedafka say that Rav Yosef, who was blind, he was an expert in Targum. And that's why it's specifically Rav Yosef who's in the Targuminon, because he didn't learn Chumash as much as he learned Targum, because he's blind. And the Chumash is supposed to be something that is written down, and you're not supposed to say it outside. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was blind, so he was an expert in Targum. That's why he's the one that's in the Targuminon over here, Saskona. In any event, this is the answer to Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef had said that they're not tummy animals, so this is the proof of that the tachash was a kosher animal. That's teretz number one. Rava disagrees. Rava amar, or behem atzmeo dimetami ba'olamei smehocha. He says, in fact, you can answer up the question that was asked, that was by Rabbi Elazar, can a non-kosher animal be metame? And he says, yes, it can. It can be metame over here in Tumas Ohel. Why is that? Because he brings down the Tanya, because we have another Brisa that says, or, in regards to Tsaras, it says that if a hide of an animal gets Tsaras, so then it tells us that it is Makabel Tumah. But it doesn't say the word or, it says Obeor. Now, what's this extra O coming to teach us? Reba or behematzmeya. It comes to be marbe, not only a kosher animal's hide, but even a non-kosher animal's hide. The extra O be'or is marbe, the hide of a non-kosher animal. Likewise, v'shalako biyat kohen. If this over here was in the hands of the kohen when he examined it, and then afterwards it got this affliction, so it also becomes tummy in that situation. Rashi says, mitchila lo haya nega, it didn't have a nega originally, and now it got the nega. So this is a perfectly good example over here of a hide that can accept tumah. Now, kotzas mikulam, v'osachas mi'aminyan, if you go take different pieces of all of these hides, and you combine them together, and would it be able to become makabel tumah of tzaraz, so Talmud lomar, o b'chol melech asor, or any combination over here. So we see that we don't say only if it's kosher animals together, but even if it was kosher and non-kosher animals together, it could be makabel tumah. So therefore, Rava says, the answer to Rava Loza's question is that in fact can be makabel tumah, even though it's a non-kosher hide, non-kosher animal's hide. Gemara says, however, that's not a raya. V'ikol amifuk, you could shlug this up, because man l'n l'goyim shekein shesiva erev tomim hen. This could be the exception to the rule, because as we learned in yesterday's shir, that even just the shesi and erev threads over here, the individual vertical and horizontal threads over here, they can become a tumah, and therefore, this is a unique din that you only find by negoyim, as opposed to tumas meis. Maybe it can't, and therefore there's no raya over here that the hide of a non-kosher animal could be mekabel tumas meis. Yes, it can be mekabel negoyim, but who says it can be mekabel tumas meis? So Rava says, Taki, you're right. Elo, gama mishvatzim. So let's learn it out from shvatzim. You can learn out over here that ohel hameis from the din of shvatzim. Just like it can be mekabel by shvatzim, it should also be mekabel by tumas hameis. Why is that? Titania, because we have a braisa in regards to sheretz, where it says by sheretz, or, so, it only has the word or, so en li'elo or behema Torah. Just or would mean a behema Torah. How do we know or behema tmeya minayin? How do we know that the contact of a hide of a non-kosher animal that comes into contact with one of the shmoneh shvatzim that's matame when it's dead also is going to be matame the hide of the non-kosher animal? Talmud lomar, or. Again, we have the same drasha, or. So therefore, that tells me that by the Tumas Sheretz, it can also include a non-kosher animal. So too, by Tumas Meis, it should include a non-kosher animal's hide. But again, Vikol Mechrok, we could slug that up as well, because there's something unique about Tumas Sheretz. Ma'al Shvatzim Shekei Metame B'chadasha. A Sheretz is Metame even with a very small amount. Whereas Tumas Olo, you need to have a Kezayis is worth to be Metame. So therefore, you can't learn it out from Tumas Sheretz. So you can't learn it out from Negoyim because of Shasiva Erev, and you can't learn it out from Sheretz because it's Matame Kadasha. So Rava says, I'm not done yet. Negoyim Yochichu, but do what we call a Mahatzad. You can say, obviously, it's not the adasha of the sheretz, it's ikra, because you don't find that it's matami ba'adasha in regards to negayim. And it can't be the fact that it's shasi and erev that's matami by negayim, because we don't find shasi and erev over here by shratzim. So therefore, v'chazra din lo rizeh kirizeh. This is what we call atzad shavu shebehen. So it can't be the unique aspect of the sheretz, and it can't be the unique aspect of negayim. So it's not the shasi ve'erev negayim. It's not the adash of sheretz, because the other one doesn't have, each of them doesn't have the other one's uniqueness. So lo rizek rizet, neither one is like the other one. So therefore, atzad shavu shebehen, the common denominator between them, about the inyan of the tumah sheretz and the tumah of tzaraz, is sh'or tomei behen, that we dealt with because of the X word O, that it could even be a non-kosher animal side. So therefore, we conclude, because of the extra O by each of them, that we don't differentiate by sheretz or by negayim between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal side. So too, that's the common denominator between them, afani ovi olamei. So when we do this binyanav to other discussions, such as tumas meitz, we can say the same thing. Shor tamibo, that it also would include Oel mace would also include an oel that was made out of a hide of a tummy dicka animal, a non-kosher animal. The nasibo or behema tmeyak or behema tara. Ah, that's the answer. That's where Rava says his answer's from. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Amalei Rava mi barnish l'ravashi. You could even shlug this up. Ikal mifrach, where Rava mi barnish, the name of a place, barnish, says to Ravashi, this raya of Rava is not correct. Why? Because Malatzad Hashavah Shabehen Shekein Tmeim B'Pachos Mechazayis. Because they do have a common denominator that is different than all Ames. Because the size for Negayim is more than a Chadasha, but it's less than a Kizayis. And the Sheretz is certainly less than a Kizayis, it's Chadasha. So maybe the unique factor, the common denominator, Hatzad Hashavah Shabehen, is that they're both less than a Kizayis. So Tomar B'mei, Shein Matami, Elev Chazayis. But a Tumas Meis, you need a Kizayis of the corpse there in order to be able to be Matami, Tumas Ohel. So therefore, it is no Raya. The word says, if there's no Raya over here, so then what's the answer? Elom Rabbi Barnish. So Rabbi Mi Barnish gives his own answer. We turn to the Amud Beis, and he says, Asil be Kavu Chomer, he notes a Shel Izim. We can actually learn this out as a Kavu Chomer from the notes, which is like the wool, but it's not really wool, it's more like hair of goats, of the Izim over here, which is, She'enu Matamin Nagoyim. The din is that the hair of a goat, if you make it into some sort of a garment or a cloth, so it doesn't become, Enu Matami Bin Nagoyim, it can't accept Tumas Nagoyim. That we learned out previously from the Gemara from yesterday's shir. Now, it is metame b'olameis, yet it can be metame in olameis. So, or behema tmeya, shemetame minagoyim, so then we can have a kavu chomer. If the or behema of a behema tmeya is able to be metame tumas negoyim, as we just learned out, so certainly, in odin, shemetame b'olameis, so if it can accept tumas negoyim, it should certainly be able to accept tumas ameis. So that is, because if goats here can't accept Tumas Negoyim, yet can accept Tumas Meis, so something that can accept Tumas Negoyim certainly should accept Tumas Meis. So that's what Rabbi Mibarnish says is the answer. Gemara says, but previously we have Elohad Tony Rav Yosef, so you're telling me now that it could be a non-kosher high can accept Tumas Meis, so how do you understand the Brice that Rav Yosef brought down before? So what does that come to teach us? What is that Brice now coming to teach us? It seems to say that you absolutely cannot use for the ohel over here something that is non-kosher, but here we just brought down, Rabbi Barnish brought down this Kabbal Chomer, it says it can be Matame. So the Gemara says, you're right, Rav Yosef's din has to be re-understood and reinterpreted. He's not talking about the ohel of the Mishkan. Eli is saying that lo hochshu belecha shemayim el or behema Torah bilvad is talking about l'tfilin. Tfilin must be made from the hide of a kosher animal. You can't make the parchment for the tfilin that the four parashios are written on. Shema v'ayim shema kadesh v'hoya kiviyacha. Those four parashios must be written on a kosher hide parchment. They can't be made from a non-kosher animal. That's what Rav Yosef's Bryce is telling us. Where it says, I wouldn't need a Bryce for that. Tefillin behedjuk sibu. The pasuk says, befeirish v'darshin out. Because the pasuk says, l'man tiyah Torah shem beficha. So we darshin out over here. The Torah v'akosh baruch has to be in your mouth. It has to be mina muta beficha. It has to be made has to be written, the parchment, the cloth has to be written over here on something that is mutter to put in your mouth. You can't make a pigskin cloth. It must be a cowskin cloth. So therefore, I wouldn't need this drasha, this brisa of Rav Yosef to tell me that. I have a drasha from the psukim. Shmuel says, you're right. Eloli Oran. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to the batim. The Oran over here, Rashi tells us, means the batim. Rashi in the Dibur Masal Oran, or Dofus Shalahen, Shak Sovim Shal Parshos Munachimbo. This is talking about the boxes that we put the cloth into, the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. Where it says, that's also not necessary. Vomer Abaye, Abaye says, that's also Shin Shal Tvilin Aloha Mosh Misinai, the Shin that we find on the Shal Rosh, we have on the right side, and on the left side, the three-headed Shin, the four-headed Shin. So this is Aloha Mosh Misinai. Now, if you have a shin over here that is on the Shal Rosh, so then it must be made out of leather because it's like the cloth. It is something that is told to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have to have it from Hamutar B'Thikah. So therefore, the same thing should apply over here, that we don't need the Brisa of Yosef to tell me about the Batim as well. Now, the question is, that's only the Shal Rosh. What about the Shal Yad? So the Svasemis brings down that Mistama, there's no difference. Once the din is that the Shal Rosh has to be made out of kosher leather, so too the Shal Yad, Mistama, has the same exact din. So even though the Shal Yad doesn't have the letter on it, it's not a shaila that, oh, the Shal Yad could be from a Tmeidic animal and the Shal Rosh should be from a kosher animal. The Svasemis says that just doesn't make sense. Others explain that maybe it's the Yud that you have on the Ritzua that it's referring to over here for the Shal Yad. In any event, the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh, both of them, are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Shmuel says, so then what's the dinner of Yosef? Elo L'Karachon B'Saron U'L'Tofron B'Gidin. You know what it is? Rashi says that you have to go and make the Gidin over here that you sew up the boxes. It has to be with the hair of a kosher animal. And the hair that you wrap each of the parashios around before you put them inside the batim also has to be from a kosher animal. That's what you need Rav Yosef's brisa for. The Tani Rav Yosef, Lahushu Melech Shemayim, Elo Behemah Torah Bovad, is coming to teach us that din. Or it says also, that's not necessary. Honami Aloch L'Moshe Misinayu. I know that anyway, because the brisa says the Tanya, Tfilin, the Rubos. The fact that the Tfilin have to be perfectly square is Aloch L'Moshe Misinai. And the fact that they have to be nichros, bisaron, vinisporos, begidin, that you have to tie the parashios when you put them inside, wrapped around with the hair from the kosher animal. And that you have to sew up the batim with the gidin, the sinews of the kosher animal. This is all halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So again, what do we need Rav Yosef's brisa for? So where it says, you're right. All of this was unnecessary, not the tefillin, not the batim, not the things that you wrap the parashios around with the hair, or the gidin that you sew up the batim, elo l'ritzuos. You need it for the actual straps of the tefillin, the ritzuos, they need to be from a kosher animal. That's what Rav Yosef is telling us. More questions, this as well. Bar Rav Yitzchak, ritzuos shechoros halach l'moshe Sinai, the ritzuos have to be black on the outside. There's a sheet that says even on the inside, but the outside is the way we paskin. So the outside of the ritzuos has to be black. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So you see the ritzuos have to be black, and therefore, isn't it that the ritzuos have to be from a kosher animal? Isn't that also Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? So here the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Nehi, the Gemira Shechoros, we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that they have to be black. However, Tohoros, mi Gemira. But where do we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that it has to be from a kosher animal? That, one might have thought, could be from a non-kosher animal. Therefore, we need the bright servant of Yosef to tell me, no, that the Ritzuos of your tefillin have to be from a kosher animal. Fine. So we have both of these opinions over here. Is the Tachash a kosher animal? Has to be from a kosher animal, or we brought down from Rav Mibar Nish, and now the other opinions over here that we just said, that no, maybe it doesn't have to be from a kosher animal for Tumas Ohel. So, how do we paskin? My Havayalah, the Tachash Rabbi Mimosha. This Tachash, the name of Moshe, was it a kosher animal, like the first opinion that we had? Or is it maybe not a kosher animal? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir tells us a little bit about the Tachash. Tachash Rabbi Mimosha, this Tachash that we found in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Bria Bifnei Atzma, was a Bria Bifnei Atzma. It was a separate, unique creature that was only made for that period of time. The Lo Hichriya B'Chachamim, Imin Chayhu, Imin Behemo. There never was a clear decision made as to whether it was a Chaya or whether it was a Behema. It was a kosher animal, but we don't know whether it was from the domesticated or the non-domesticated animals. There are three kosher Behemos, there are seven kosher Chayas that are brought down in the Parashah Shmini and Re'eh. And we don't know whether this was either a behemoth or a chaya. that has nafkaminas in terms of other halachas, in terms, can you eat the chaylev? The chay, you can eat the chaylev. Chay requires kisur dam. By behema, you can't eat the chaylev, and it doesn't require kisur dam. The other differences as well. In any event, it had one horn. The Karen Achas HaYisrael B'mitzvah. It was a unicorn. In fact, that's what the Aruch says. He says that this was a unicorn. The Karen Achas HaYisrael B'mitzvah, it had one horn on its head. Ulefi Shon is Dam L'Moshe. It was a unique creature that was only present in that point in our history, because Moshe Rabbeinu needed it for the Mishkan, and once the Mishkan was no longer needed anymore, so then this Tachash went away. B'asim Menu Mishkan, it was used specifically for the Mishkan, the Nignaz, and after that, it was removed from the world. We don't know where it is. It was taken from the world. Now, Midikamah Karen Achas HaYisrael B'mitzvah, from the fact that Rav Meir said that it had a single horn, it was a unicorn over here, Shema Mino Tar Hoya. We know that all the animals that have horns are kosher animals. So therefore, Mistama, it's a kosher animal. The Amr of Yehuda, Shor Sheik Rav Adam Rishon, the ox, the bull, that Adam Rishon sacrificed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Karen Achas HaYisrael B'mitzvah, it also had a single horn based upon the pasuk Shneimar, V'sitav L'Hashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. So Hashem says it's much better to praise Hashem than this animal that you're bringing as a carbon. So therefore, we see that Adam's bull over here was kosher, obviously, brought as a carbon, and it only had one horn. So clearly, this one horn that the Tachash had is also a kosher animal. More questions, it says, wait a second, Makrin is Tarte Mashma. Makrin means it has horns, not horn. So how can you tell me that Adam Rishon's bull only had one horn? It had Makrin. Shmuel says, you're right. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's spelled, it's a Ksivu Kri, Mikeren Ksiv. It's not spelled Makrin, it's spelled Mikeren. We pronounce it Makrin, but therefore it implies that it's only a single horn, a unicorn animal. But if that's the case, that we're learning this out from Adam Rishon, so Adam Rishon was definitely a behemoth. That was definitely from the bovine family. So let us learn out that the Tachash, we said, when brought down, the Rav Meir said, we're not sure, the rabbis never decided, was it a behemoth or a chaya, so let's bring a raya, in behemoth. If it's like Adam Rishon's animal, so then the Tachash should be a behemoth. Mori says, no. Kivan the Iko Keresh, there is a chaya that has a unicorn as well, called the Keresh. The Min Chayu, that is a chaya. So therefore, we have an example of a unicorned behema, the Adam Rishon's Karen behema. And we have an example of a chaya, that's a unicorn animal, the keresh. The les lei elocha the Karen, it only has one horn. So therefore, ikla meimar min chayu. So maybe the tachash is a chaya. We don't have a raya. That's why the chazal were not able to decide, is the tachash a behema or a chaya? Because we had an example of a single-horned behema from Adam Rishon, and we have an example of a single-horned chaya from the Keresh, and therefore that was never resolved. We'll go a little bit weiter. We'll do the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Psilas HaBeged, if you have over here a wick that is made out of a beged, out of a garment. Now, what did you do? You folded it up, as we'll see, Shekipla, so you removed it from the status of being a garment by folding it up into a wick, however, V'lo Hiv Haba, but you didn't go and start to light it. There is an interesting custom that's brought down that the man should go, when he sets up the candles for his wife for Shabbos, the man should be trying to be involved in the mitzvah of Hadlakas and Eros, because it's technically his mitzvah as much as his wife's mitzvah, but the minhag is that the women light the Shabbos lift. So there's a custom brought down in Shulchan Aruch that the man should prepare the candles for his wife to light, and one of the things that it suggests that you do in that situation is that you go and light the wick and then blow it out, because the second time you light it, it's much easier to light. So if you just folded it up, v'lo hivhava, but you didn't light it, so Rabbi Lezer Omer Tmehi, then that is still considered a garment, and it's capable of being makabel tumah, because only a garment can be makabel tumah, but a wick isn't makabel tumah. V'emad likabah, and therefore, you're not allowed to light with such a wick over here on Shabbos. Rashi says, the Gemara will explain why. The first time in Gemara. We'll get to that soon. So, that's the opinion over here of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with him. Rabbi Kiva says, Tahorihi, it in fact is not makabel tumah once you started to fold it up, shekipla, so now you've removed it from the status of being a garment, and therefore it no longer is capable of makabel tumah. And therefore, umad likimbo, and you're allowed to light with it on Shabbos, the Hadlakas Neros, on Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos, with such a wick. Now, what are they talking about? The Gemara says, Bishlam alinyan tumah b'ha plige. I understand in regards to tumah what they're arguing about. What's the argument? The Rebbe Lezer Savar Kipul Eino Moel. Rebbe Lezer holds that just the fact that you folded up this garment and made it into a wick doesn't remove its halachic status as being a garment. over milsa kamaisa kaima, and therefore it remains halachically as a garment, because if you didn't do anything to it other than folding it, that didn't make a significant change in it, and therefore it's still makabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva savar kipul moa, and Rabbi Akiva says no, the folding it up, that destroys its status, it removes its status as being a garment, ubatuli batil, it's no longer a garment, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. However, Elalinian had lock up in my pligi. But what are they arguing about? Why shouldn't you be able to light with it? Okay, whether it's a makabel tuma or not, I can understand that. But why would Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva argue about whether you can use such a wick on Shabbos or not? So the Gemara sets the following suggestion. Amar Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Pchinam Rav Adar Rava. Either was Rav Elazar named Rav Hoshaya, or was Rav Adar Rava, or both of them that said it. Hacha b'shalosh al shalosh mitzum tzomos askina. We're dealing over here with a garment that was folded up that was exactly three etzbos by three etzbos. Remember, I said yesterday, shalosh is a feminine word, a feminine number, and therefore it must be talking about etzbos or amos. We're obviously not talking about amos, it's much too large. So we're talking here about a very small piece of cloth over here that's only three etzbos by three etzbos. Exactly. And they say that we're talking about ubiyontov shecholios erev Shabbos askin. We're talking about yontiv that comes out on erev Shabbos. So in other words, Friday is yontiv, and you're talking about lighting this on yontiv of Friday afternoon. So what's the machlokas? The kuli alma islu Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody holds over here from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that he says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, masikim bekelim, you're allowed to take a intact utensil chair and go and burn it as firewood on Yontif. However, vei masikim b'shivri kelim, but you're not allowed to take a broken chair on Yontif and use that as firewood if it broke on Yontif. If it broke before Yontif, you can. But if it broke on Yontif, so that's called nolad. It was a chair, and now it's broken chair. A broken chair is a new entity, and therefore it's nolad, and therefore it's muktza. So everybody agrees with that. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva agree with that din. Udekuli amma islu de'ula. And everybody also holds a din of Ula. What did Ula say? D'amar Ula, hamadlik tzoros shiadlik berov hayotze. If you want to light a wick for Shabbos, so you're supposed to light the majority of the wick. In other words, it should go and be lit well, and you shouldn't have to do anything. Once you pull your match away from it, it should be lit on its own. It shouldn't still have to go light further. So with these two dinim, that a utensil that is not broken is not muktza, and therefore, even though you're using it as a chair, you technically could use it as firewood. But if it's broken on yontiv, it's nolad, it's muktza, and you can't use it. Everybody agrees to that. And Ula's din that you have to light something, it has to be lit well in order for it to be able to be lit. So then, now we can understand, according to these Amorayim, the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar savar kipul eino mol. Rabbi Elazar says, as we've already brought down, that the folding it up doesn't remove its status as being a garment. In other words, it's still makabel tuma. Now, the kivan da adlik meipurta, if you'd use it now as a wick and you'd light even a little bit of it, havelei shever kli, you've destroyed it. Once it's a little bit burnt, so then it's no longer able to be used as a garment. And now, v'chi kom madlik b'shever kli kom madlik. And now, if you continue lighting it, because like Ula says, you have to continue lighting it, you're lighting with a shever kli. And a shever kli is not allowed to be used because it's nolad. That's why Rabbi Elazar says that if you didn't light it beforehand, so then it is considered a shever kli that you've created and you can't keep on using because of nolad. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva savar kipul mawil. Rabbi Akiva says that no, the folding it removed its status as being a kli, so it's like a shever kli already. Vein Torah's kli alav, and therefore it's nothing, and therefore it's not muktzah now. V'chi komadlik, and now when you're lighting it, beitz ba'amu komadlik, you're lighting firewood, and firewood is allowed to be lit on yontif. That's not a problem. It's not molad, and therefore you can light it. So therefore, that is the understanding of the machlokas between Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Yosef adds to this, and he says, Amar Rav Yosef, haynu tanina, this makes sense, because we learned in a brisa, shalosh al shalosh mitzum tzos, if you have exactly three etzbos, by three etzbos, there was a brisa that said there's a din in regards to this, and Rav Yosef said, lo yadina l'may hilchasa, I didn't know what that was for. Now that you're telling me this machlokes, you know, Rav Akiva is based upon this machlokes, so now I understand what this brisa is coming to teach us. Now, before we finish the shiur, we'll just do a little bit more because it's really the same inyan. We'll start a little bit of a new inyan tomorrow. So the Gemara says, "Umidikom etaritz Rav Adar Rava alibid Rav Yehuda." Rav Adar Rava was one of the two Amoraim that said this is the understanding of the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer based upon this shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Shma Mina, Rabbi Yehuda's feeling that he must hold like Rabbi Yehuda. However, that's not true. Umi amar Rav Adi bar Rava, does Rav Adi bar Rava really hold like Rabbi Akiva? That's not true. V'amar Rav Adi bar Rava, we turn to Yom Aleph. Noch rishachokach kab b'bikas Yisrael. If a non-Jewish person went and took your wood and he cut out, he carved out over here a kav, a certain measure's worth, b'bikas Yisrael, in a bigger log of a Jewish person, so meisikin bot, that's the right gear, so b'yantiv. It should be that you're allowed to go and use this on yantiv. But wait a second, if you say like Rabbi Yehuda, v'amai nolad hu, it wasn't originally, it was a bigger piece, and now he made it into something else, so this should be nolad, it should be brand new, how would you be allowed to use it? So Rav Adi bar Rava says you're allowed to use this. So he obviously doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you tell me that Rav Adi bar Rava says this is the explanation? He doesn't hold like that. So Gemara says, you're right. L'divrayim, the Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Kiva, kamalei. He's saying, yeah, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, they hold like Rabbi Yehuda over here. However, v'lei, I personally hold like Rabbi Shimon. V'lei l'sirlei, he doesn't hold like this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Shimon. With that, we conclude today's shir. Again, we learned today, Lili Nishmas, David, Fran's father, Moshe ben Yehuda Yitzchak, all the neshamas that we learned for should have an aliyah. Have a nice day.